line. Hi, Barbara.
Hi, Mitchell.
Barbara, this book almost seems like a group of friends kind of getting together for a conversation. Tell me a bit about what you were trying to do with this anthology.
Well, actually, we didn't intend to do it at all. I found a private list in August 2007, just about two dozen close friends. We were all professional writers, and we just wanted to talk to each other almost every day about, like, mainly professional issues. But what happened is that we became really close friends, and personal things, memories, anecdotes kept surfacing. And because it was such a small group, we were really free to say anything we wanted to each other. And at one point, somebody said, you know, this really ought to be published, what you just wrote, but there are no markets there for personal essays anymore. And we realized that many of us had a bank of personal essays that we still own the rights to that had been published before in newspapers and magazines. And somebody said, you know what, we should do an anthology. And that was just in last summer. It was happened so quickly. The minute they said this, everybody said, oh, I'm on board. That's a wonderful idea. I said, hold your horses, folks. It's my list. I don't want to get involved in something unless we know what we're doing. And I'm a publishing consultant. And I thought, we need a publisher. You know, we're not just going to do this blind. And we knew Marvin Ross. He was a medical writer that we all knew through the Professional Writers Association. He published a couple of his own books, and when they were successful, he created a mid-sized publishing company. And I contacted him and said, what do you think? And he said, sounds good. So we just went ahead.
Okay, so it worked out better than, easier, I guess, than you thought.
And nobody expected this was actually going to happen. We began soliciting. I got two other editors together, Irene Davis from Toronto, who's a wonderful editor and grammar teacher, Fred Desjardins from Halifax, who has edited a magazine, is also a very good editor and a humor writer, and the three of us said, well, we can take this on. I can serve as managing editor because as a book consultant, I know about format and covers and stuff, we said, well, we could do this, and we began to solicit things, and they just came in droves. We limited to three submissions per person, and we ended up with 18 contributors contributing 34 personal first-person stories, all kinds of subjects, from 14 locations from the Northwest Territories writing about alpacas to PEI writing about lobster, and everything in between.
Now, so when you had all this, did you need someone who had some distance from this group? Because I guess some of these people were your friends.
We were all friends.
Yeah, so did you...
You know what? We just trusted ourselves and our, you know, we're all very experienced. Irene and I are seniors. Fred isn't yet 60, but we felt we had enough savvy and sensible. We were sensible enough. We rejected stuff. You know, we did not spare any feelings. We had somebody rewrite something almost completely. Nobody objected. Everybody said, well, we're used to working with editors. We trust you. But we also trusted Marvin because we knew that when we were sending, when we got to the point where we actually were ready to send some stuff to him, we knew that he would say, this isn't good enough. Because he's published many, many books, including books of humor, including children's books and books on mental health and a number of other topics. So we trusted his judgment. And we sent him a couple of things, and he said, this is terrific. It's a go. And it's kind of amazing that when we looked back through it, the three of us were in daily contact with each other for form, such a thing. And we knew we had good stuff as it was coming in. I mean, we were saying back and forth, this is great.
Now, you've got a piece of, you've got three pieces in there. You're going to share an excerpt with us, so maybe you could set it up for the listeners.
Well, this piece was originally published in the Ottawa Citizen, and it was then published in a number of other newspapers. I used to publish a lot of personal essays, and this is in the last section of the book. The book is divided in five sections, called Misadventures, Rearview Mirror, What in the World, Love and Loss, and Exit Laughing. So it has a wide variety of material. This one is an exit laughing, and it's a fun piece. I really like it. So I'll read you just the beginning. Is that okay?
Sure.
I don't have many fears. I'm not afraid of the water, heights, speaking in public, or snakes. But I'm terrified of insects. My panic at seeing a spider is totally irrational and often hysterical. So what am I doing with a cricket in my office? Insects make me hysterical. When I was about 6, one of my sisters, exasperated with my intrusion on her privacy in the room we shared, closed me inside, holding the door shut from the hallway while whispering, "I just saw a spider in there." As my frantic eyes searched every corner and my hands brushed my hair, my clothes, my arms, my legs, certain something was crawling on me, I heard her malicious giggle, and I began to scream. There was no spider, of course, which she confessed as she soon realized her prank was out of control. But that still doesn't explain what I'm doing with a cricket in my office. I didn't kill a spider myself till I was 25 years old and living in Chicago. I'd been told that insects don't live on the higher floor of skyscrapers, and I was reassured by the fact that my apartment was on the 42nd floor. But 2 months after I moved in, I found a tiny black spider. I stood transfixed, sweat beginning to soak my armpits and forehead. Slowly, I steadied myself against the dresser with my right hand and reached with my left for one of the slippers I knew were beside the bed. After I stopped shaking, I was proud of my accomplishment. Still, more than 2 decades after that triumph, I shiver every time I see an insect. So what am I doing with a cricket in my office? And, of course, you will find out the answer.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I mean, you raise a good question with, like, you know, I've often wondered myself how insects get into places like on the 42nd floor, but they manage. They manage to do it. Listen, tell me about some of the contributors to this.
Well, we have a wide range of contributors. They range over 4 decades in age. Helena Katz, who wrote Driving Alpacas, which is the first piece in the book, hilarious piece about driving a herd of alpacas north to the Northwest Territories. She's a criminologist, got a criminology degree, but she was a well-published journalist before that. She's written several books of local Canadian history. Julie Watson, who wrote the lobster piece in Misadventures, is a food and travel and regional writer from PEI. Gordon Gibb is a broadcaster in Peterborough. He wrote Inside the Santa Suit about acting as a store Santa in Rearview Mirror. That's actually very funny. It's not just a Rearview Mirror piece. Trudy Kelly Forsyth lives in New Brunswick and wrote about going to a Rolling Stones concert many years after she had been to her first one, and that's in What in the World. It's quite a delightful story. Mark Kearney from London, Ontario, is a teacher at Western University. He teaches journalism. Again, a much-published writer and the co-author with Randy Ray, whom you probably know from Ottawa, of the Canadian Trivia books. And Mark has a couple of pieces in the book.
Okay, so it's a pretty wide range of people. If people want to find this book, how can they do so?
Well, it's on Amazon. It's on the Bridge Ross website, bridgeross.com. And it's also described and reviews printed and so forth on my website, which is simonteakettle.com. That's my famous cat. It's at Chapters, it's at Amazon, it's at many of the local bookstores. Some of them have it, some of them have had it, and will order it for you. It's in the Gatineau and the Ottawa Public Libraries. It's pretty well available everywhere.
Okay, I've been talking to Barbara Florio-Graham. She's the editor of Prose to Go, and her website is www.simonteakettle.com. Barbara, thanks very much for talking with us.
Thank you, Mitchell. It was a pleasure.
It's 5:31. This is